Actually, the point I was thinking about, though, is we have a wealth of endocrine options coming forward, and how to integrate Faslodex is one of them. And many of us are starting to think about it in the adjuvant setting, and there's been discussion around that point today. What's disappointing is that we don't really have a surrogate that would allow us, short of a very large randomized prospective study, which is going to take a decade to finish, to really tell us what to do with this drug. And I think it's sort of at the very fundamental level, a failure of what our laboratory correlative studies have allowed us to do so far, because we're still left looking at these questions and having to resort to tremendously large studies to answer them. And it's a real barrier for, I think, more rapid integration. The question is, Faslodex together or not with an AI, Faslodex after an AI in the adjuvant setting, combinations thereof, it's really left us doing what we've always done, which is how we've learned a lot, but it would be nice to think something was better.
Faslodex, I think you have to think of it as sort of a unique problem. The company wrestled for years with a formulation. It's absorbed very little orally. They spent years trying to have an oral preparation by modifying the structure of the drug. And then they were concerned about the injection, so they put it on hold again, explaining partly why the long duration. And then I think they were afraid to give two injections, 250 in each buttock, to get the blood level up to a higher level. They were afraid that wouldn't be accepted. So there were lots of issues here that probably won't apply again to another drug like this in a long time. But I think in the end, many of us think that the dose that they're giving is not satisfactory, both in terms of the loading dose and in terms of the maintenance dose. Because I think 125 doesn't work at all. And when you look at the differences in the blood level between 125 and 250, it's not that much. And in some women, because of probably their pharmacogenomics, it's no greater. And I think we just got into trouble in this drug going forward without knowing exactly the best dose.
Eric?
I'm just curious. So faced with a woman with newly diagnosed metastatic breast cancer who's been on tamoxifen, do all of you always, if you're going to use a hormonal therapy, use both ovarian suppression and an AI at the same time there? Or do you at times give ovarian suppression and then see what happens? And if there's then disease progression, use an AI?
Yes.
Yes.
The latter?
Yeah.
Okay, which is what I would tend to do.
I give ovarian suppression and an AI at the same time.
Which is not unreasonable, but I don't. I wait and see. People have been doing ovarian suppression since 1892. It works pretty well, so... SWOG is doing, just as a relatively trivial add-on here, we're doing a trial of anastrozole versus anastrozole fulvestrant in upfront. It may be an undoable trial in the next 2 years. We're going to hopefully get it done before everybody's on adjuvant AIs. And we're also doing pharmacogenomics in that. We're collecting white cells and so on and so forth. So hopefully that will also contribute to some of the stuff that John laid out.